I don't like silence. It unnerves me. I've just always been used to some noise and clatter. Traffic and trains and sirens outside my window. If there was silence, I'd just talk over it. My teachers would give out to me, but I wouldn't stop for long. So they'd tell my mum, "Mrs. Byrne, Amanda's being awfully talkative in class." And she'd reply, "Well, maybe she's just got more to say than anyone else." When my mum got sick, it took a while to get used to the hospital. I eventually figured out that it was just a different type of noise. A noise that I just had to train my ears to hear. I would sit there a lot by myself when my mum was sleeping and concentrate on the squeaks and mutterings of the nurses, pacing the corridors with hushed urgency. I started to hear percussion in the ECG beeps and the IV drips and the wheezing breathing assistance machines. Every once in a while, I'd hear some crying floating down the hall and into our room. I'd put some headphones on then. I don't like silence. Or sitting still. Or not doing things. But I'd make many exceptions for my mother.
"What do you mean you don't want to go back to college?"
"Should just maybe stay at home for a while."
"Stay at home? Since when have you ever wanted to stay at home?"
"Since now. And it's not like a degree is going to help much, let alone one in journalism. I could write for the locals, get some actual experience and be here with you."
"I didn't save up to put you through 2 years already just to have you quit so close to the end."
"I'm not quitting. I just need to be here. If I go back in September..."
"You will need to be here in September."
"Of course I will."
"Amanda, I think you need to come to terms with this. I won't be around much longer. Are you still meeting with your counsellor?"
"He called me stubborn."
"Well, then at least he knows what he's talking about. I'm in this hospice for a reason. And I know you know this. But I don't think you actually realise that I'm dying."
"You don't say that."
"There were so many days I still wanted to have with you. But it's okay. I've accepted it. As hard as it is. Now you need to as well."
"I love you, Mum."
"I love you too, darling."
"Mum, I can accept this. But I need to know about something."
"Anything, honey?"
"I need to know about my dad. What happened to him?"
"He never asked me before."
"Well, I never needed to. I had you."
"It might not be a good idea to go dragging up the past like this."
"Mum, please. I'd just like to know."
"You promise you won't do something stupid like go looking for him? Because you don't need to do that for me. I've forgotten about him."
"I won't, I promise."
"He ran away with some other woman."
"Who?"
"I don't know. I just remember Peter Bentley walking in the door and... he just stood there and told me. He looked nervous. Like I'd blame him. Peter was a friend. Him and your dad and Donald Graves. The three amigos. Though nothing was the same after Andrew left."
"What was he like?"
"He was good. At least I thought so anyway. I suppose you can never be too sure. But he made you, so he can't have been that bad, really. I moved out of that place soon after, back to my mother's, while I was expecting. And the rest was just you and me. And I wouldn't change it for anything."
"Me neither."
"I'm feeling a bit tired. Might just close my eyes for a little while."
"I'll leave you then."
be back tomorrow.
My thumb rubbed and wore away the ink on the bus ticket. I watched out the window as the motorway shriveled into a winding varicose vein of a road, and I thought of the funeral. It was nice. Not many people. My mum kept to herself. There were people from the hospice and one or two from every job she had. She used to work no less than two at a time to keep us above water, especially when I was a kid. When I got older, I did some hours in a shop to help out. She didn't have any real friends, though. I felt a little bit guilty about that. The priest read the time to sow, time to reap psalm, which I thought was very inappropriate for a woman in her 40s. I didn't complain, though. What was the point? I rang my counsellor and got his voicemail.
I'm not available to take a call at the moment. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hi, Dave. Just ringing to say thanks for coming to the service and sorry I missed you afterwards. I don't think I'm going to make it to our session this evening. Something's come up. I don't think I'm going to make it to any more sessions, actually. Anyway, I've got to go. Thanks again, and sorry.
The place was small and grey. I don't know how a whole town can be grey, but it was. Places to stay were limited. One hotel on the outskirts. Maybe this was a mistake. What was I going to do if I found him anyway? Hug him or punch him? I just felt so alone.
And don't call me kid.
Why couldn't someone just take care of me?
Watch where you're going!
Sorry.
Probably shouldn't have snapped at him like that. It wasn't his fault.
What are you doing here?
Excuse me?
I mean, a girl like you in a place like this.
I suppose I'm trying to find somewhere to stay.
Oh, I can help you with that. There's a bed and breakfast down the road, Cassidy's. They'll sort you out. Tell them Niall sent you.
Niall?
Me. I'm Niall. I'm kind of a businessman.
Oh, I see. Thanks.
Do you need me to walk you down?
It's just down here, is it? No, I'm all right. Thanks, though, Niall.
Oh, okay. You're welcome anyway.
Even though that was the worst attempt at a pickup line I had ever heard, and for a businessman, I doubt he'd done much business. He was nice and helpful. Cute, too, in an awkward way. I was actually a little bit disappointed I wouldn't be staying longer. The room was all right. Small but nice. The landlady asked too many questions, but I suppose she was just filling the stereotype. I pulled out the little scrap of paper. Scrawled in wasting blue ink was the name Bentley. There were tear stains smudging it. The landlady asked about it, but I just waved her off. She told me he owned a car dealership just up the road. Everything here was just up the road. Bentley's dealership was a monstrosity. Ugly angles and sheets of cold glass piercing the rural charm of the surroundings. His name emblazoned massive on a billboard at the entrance, presumably underlit by floodlights as soon as the sun went down. His cars were gleaming, not a fingerprint. I drew my hand over a nice red one. Five long streaks across the door. I hadn't even met the man yet, but I think I knew his type.
Do you like the colour?
I'm sorry?
The colour? The red? It's a nice shade, isn't it? Sophisticated. But with a little vavoom. Like yourself, perhaps, huh?
I think he was worse than I imagined. My mum spoke respectfully of him, though, the few times she did. I owed it to her to at least give him a chance. I'm not all that sophisticated, sorry.
Ah, no. Don't be selling yourself short. And Peter, by the way. Peter Bentley.
Ah, the Peter Bentley.
My reputation precedes me.
No, just your sign.
Oh? Oh, that joke. Yeah, it's a nice sword, isn't it? It was a gift from the Germans. I didn't want to be rude. You seem familiar. Do I know you from somewhere?
We haven't met, no.
I swear you look familiar.
I'm looking for my father.
Your father? I'm sorry, I don't even know your name.
Amanda Byrne. I think you knew my dad, Andrew.
I'm sorry, I don't know anyone by that name.
And things were going so well. No, he was from here, you knew him.
I'm sure there are lots of people from here, Annie.
Amanda?
Yes. Well, I'm sorry, but can't help you.
My mother told me you knew him, just before she died. She told me that you and he were friends, and that you came to her on the night he left and told her he'd run away with another woman.
Look, I'm sorry for your loss, but I don't know any Andrew Bourne.
I don't believe you. I'm going to find him, with your help or not.
Hey,
Niall, right? The businessman.
Yeah, that's me.
You don't know that creep, do you?
Who, Bentley? No.
What was he doing there? Maybe he wasn't so nice after all. I was unexpectedly very relieved until...
Niall, how are you?
Niall did know him. I couldn't trust anyone here not to lie to me. I looked back over my shoulder to Niall. I couldn't help it. Maybe there was an explanation. Part of me wished he'd turn back, call after me. It was just a misunderstanding. But instead, he followed Bentley around the side. Moments later, they tore past me in a new car. Obviously, thick as thieves. I wasn't going to let people like that stop me, though. In fact, I was going to let them help me. I never thought of myself as the breaking and entering type before. Not the most graceful entrance either. But Bentley definitely had some cameras around the front and wouldn't have been too happy to find me picking through his dirty laundry, I don't think.
If I was some incriminating evidence, where would I be?
His office was plastered with the same ugly modernity as the forecourt. A large desk, two silver pens parallel with his laptop. No walls of glass, though. He liked his privacy. I wasn't even sure what I was looking for, but I opened his laptop anyway.
Bentley. Nope. Worth a try. Maybe the old-fashioned way.
I felt like I was in a conspiracy movie. You know the ones where the detective who just got thrown off the case breaks into the room with archives written on the door, and he has the flashlight in his mouth, flicking through files, looking for medical records or phone transcripts or something. Except they usually find what they're looking for. I started to think I should probably just go home. I wasn't really in the right state of mind to be going all Nancy Drew. Then the phone rang. I didn't really know what to do. So I just hid behind the desk. Hopefully there wasn't a receptionist lurking around who'd come in and pick it up. This whole thing was a bad idea. I mean, breaking and entering. Come on, Amanda, what were you thinking? I lay down and rubbed my eyes and thought of my mum. Bentley's desk was a dark mahogany. A rare bit of reserved taste in this place. My mum liked mahogany, but we could never really afford anything made from it. The only thing she had was a small little heart necklace. It would only open if you twisted the parts a specific way. Inside, she had a picture of me. She said my dad had one too, in silver. And then I saw it. A little glint of silver against the dark wood. It was a keyhole.
A keyhole needs a key.
I thought maybe I shouldn't go home just yet. Now, normally I wouldn't just assume someone's up to no good just because they have a secret compartment in their desk. But he had already lied to me. He was a liar and a hider. Now, where would he hide the key? Somewhere close by, no doubt.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Taped behind the radiator.
Oh.
I don't know what I expected to find, but I didn't expect that. Although I didn't have much time to ruminate on my discovery.
No, come on over here. You step into my office.
No.
I left the way I entered. gracelessly through the window. I practically sprinted the whole way back to my room. My head spun and I crashed down on the bed. In my pocket, the crumpled contents of Bentley's secret drawer. It was a photo of him and my mother. Why did Bentley have this? She looked so young and beautiful. She was smiling.
I miss you so much.
There were other papers with the photo too. I zipped them up into my bag and kept them for later. I took out that piece of paper my mother had given me and focused on the next name, Donal Graves. There was no answer at Graves and Son. Graves. You'd think he'd have done something other than funeral directing, wouldn't you? I went round the side to check the windows, but I hoped I wouldn't have to break in this time. My stomach almost leapt up my throat when I saw Niall get out of the car. I can't believe I actually thought twice about him. Although, he was going into Graves' place. Maybe he knew where I could find Donal.
Hey, businessman!
Hey, again. You know, this is the third time I've seen you today and I still don't know your name.
I really didn't want to tell him my name. I wanted to punch him in the eye.
It's Amanda. Amanda Byrne.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Amanda. Again.
Nice to meet you too, Niall, again.
I just wanted to know where his boss was.
You work here?
Yeah, on the Sun, in Graves and Son. I like to think we're partners at this stage.
Graves? Your dad's Donal Graves?
Yeah, that's him. He's not here at the moment, but if you want to arrange a service or something, I can take care of it for you.
His son. Things were starting to make more sense now. All these backcountry hicks were in this together. And I thought, well, if he can be a duplicitous little garden snake, then I'll be a viper.
Look, I realised that I might have been a bit rude with you earlier, and I wanted to maybe offer to take you for a drink later. If you're free, that is. I need someone to tell me about the area.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm not busy at all.
I almost felt sorry for him. Almost.
Niall, I didn't expect to see you back. And who's this? Customer?
So this was Donal Graves. The third amigo. I smiled my mother's smile.
Hi, nice to meet you.
You know the way cheetahs stalk their prey? They run at them, split the group and pounce on the weakest. Well, Niall was the weakest. I shot Donal a glance and caught his eye. He paused for a moment. Did he recognise me? Did he get the balloon rise in his gut? I hope so. I turned to Niall.
Didn't you want to speak to...
Here's my number. Give me a text and let me know a time and a place for later.
I looked over my shoulder as I walked away. Niall and his dad headed back into the building.
Yep.
Niall looked pretty pleased with himself. I was pretty pleased too, impressed with my ruthlessness. I was so lost in my plotting, I didn't see the van. I sat on the path for a while, just catching my breath. The van was white, no plates. When my legs turned solid again, I went back into my room and stuffed every little ounce of clothing I could into my bag. I could handle betrayal and breaking and entering, and the small grey town with small grey people. But my dad wasn't worth my life. If he was, he would have been there for it. I curled up under the covers for a while. Just a few minutes. I was woken hours later by a text. From Niall.
Drinks, O'Harris. As soon as humanly possible.
The drinks were what really tempted me.
Sorry, you here long?
No, not that long.
The crowd looks pretty colourful.
Yeah, this town. Lots of characters, all right. Pint of Guinness there, John. And you, Amanda.
Give me a Jameson. No ice.
How many have you had?
Not enough.
I know that feeling. Actually, John, make mine a whiskey too.
Niall's hands shook a little when he changed his order. I wanted to slap him, throw my drink over him and walk out. But I just couldn't give up.
Rough day?
You wouldn't believe.
Try me.
Ah, you don't want to hear my problems.
I stuck to the plan. Kill with kindness, Amanda.
Come on, spill.
Ah, it's just my dad, you know. Some people, you think you know them and then...
Yeah, I get that. Definitely.
That hit unexpectedly close to home. I think I gave him a look, a genuine one. I cursed myself.
Oh, yeah? Boyfriend dump you?
No boyfriend.
I thought I just saw a glint in his eye.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Don't be. I'm fine.
Then what's with all the drinks?
What?
Seems like you're drowning your sorrows.
Whiskey goes down surprisingly easy when you've nearly been run over.
Run over? When?
Just after I was speaking to you.
Wow, that's terrible.
I know. Imagine if I'd been killed. You'd have been the last person to see me alive.
Spooky.
Or maybe the prime suspect.
Did you ring the guards or anything? They're not much use, but it'd be good to report it.
Nah. I think I'll be leaving soon anyway. I think it's time for me to go home.
The mother will be worrying.
Ugh, no, shut up, you idiot.
No, she passed away, actually.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. You didn't know.
Was it recent?
Last week.
Man. I lost my mum, too. Not recently or anything. A good few years ago now. It'll be okay. It gets better.
I know. I just have to keep moving, I think.
That's the worst thing. That's just putting it off.
Putting it off sounds good to me.
No, you need to face it head on. Rip it off like a plaster and, you know...
Insert random cliche here.
I'm just trying to say I know how it feels. I remember.
Well, that's great. But I don't. I don't remember how it feels. I wish I did, because then I'd be in the past, but it's still so fresh. It feels like everything. All at once. And everything all at once might as well just be nothing.
That was probably the most honest I'd been with myself or anyone else in a long time.
Yeah. Eventually it turns into a drone. Just a never-ending grind. But you learn to tune it out when you need to. It's always there, and sometimes it'll burst to life again for a while, but for the most part, you get used to it.
What age were you?
12. My dad actually did the funeral, which was a bit weird, looking back on it.
So what happened with your dad then?
Basically, he didn't like my new car.
I realised that maybe the killing with kindness had just turned into kindness. I asked about his dad and Bentley and told him about mine. He'd heard my dad's name before, but really he was just as lost as me. So he said he'd bring me to the office and we'd look around. We sculled our drinks and then his phone rang. He answered and looked worried.
Who is that? Niall?
He looked at me.
What's wrong?
His eyes were sunken.
My dad.
Like he'd just been hit.
He's been in an accident.
Niall left in a hurry. I still hadn't made up my mind about Donal. I didn't know what he was hiding, what he knew about my dad. But part of me hoped he was okay for Niall's sake. Another part of me couldn't shake the feeling that it was an awfully convenient phone call. But his face, when he got the call, it couldn't have been a lie. I've known that face. That feeling deep in your chest, that was real, wasn't it? As soon as I asked myself, I began to forget what he looked like after the call. It was the face I knew, wasn't it? No? My doubt twisted my memory like a trick mirror. And now, instead of the face I knew, there was Donal and Bentley standing behind Niall. They placed their hands on his shoulders and he looked at them each in turn, and they laughed together. I felt the weight of the sky on me as if the last day, the last week, the last month were caught on the other side, straining down on top of me. But I heard my mother's voice. It was a clear night. I looked up and could see the whole universe. I stopped on the curb, one foot poised to step off and listen. It was loud enough now, and I stepped out onto the road. I twirled the keys Niall had handed me round my index finger. When I got off the bus that morning, I thought I didn't know what I'd do when I found my dad. But I did. 99% of me wanted to hit him. But the other 1% that wanted to hug him just wouldn't shut up. Just wouldn't let go. My feelings aren't democratic, apparently. Graves and Son's funeral home came into view, and I remembered how Niall's dad had taken care of his wife's funeral. I wondered, would Niall do the same if his dad didn't make it? The funeral home stopped me dead in my tracks. The white van. The one that almost killed me. Parked right outside.
What?
It was definitely it. The feeling that shot through my heart when I saw it. Part of me wasn't even surprised. You should have expected this, Amanda. Did he want to lure me here? Was this a trap? I felt like such an idiot. I should never have let my guard down. The smell of burning snapped me out of my daze. The door into the furnace room was open. Didn't even need the key. The fire was embers now. The smoke and the smell was rolled into the walls, eaten by the cracks. The streetlights poured in the open door, illuminating the furnace grill. Underneath was a tray, a sieve-like thing, which caught any bits and let the ash of the dead people fall through. I looked into the furnace, the inside still pulsing red. Whatever was in there was dust now. The tray, though. The tray had something in it. A glint of silver. I grabbed at it. The silver had contorted and the chain had melted together in parts. But it was a heart. I tried to twist it. That familiar pattern I'd done so many times with mahogany. Once top to bottom, once left to right, and once bottom to top. When it didn't open, I threw it on the ground, grabbed a fire extinguisher and pummeled it. And every frustration, at every betrayal, all the anger and worry and doubt was rained down on that little piece of silver. Inside was a picture. A picture of my mum. Young and beautiful.
Dad. You killed him.